He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? All right, once that uploads, I'll play it. But LeBron was, you know, talking about what it's like to watch Luka play. And he and Steve Nash, I thought, had a really cool exchange about what it's like to, you know, about Luka's approach and how much it has in common with LeBron, who, remember, when LeBron came into the league, you had all those mouth breathers whining about the fact that LeBron was making the pass at the end of the game and not forcing shots. And LeBron maintained over the course of his career, it's like, no, I'm going to make the right play. If I see now, you will see him occasionally take that step back three pointer, all of that stuff. But at the end of the day, LeBron is always just hardwired to make the right play. Here's him talking about Luka being wired the same way.
But I'd like to know from you, like, what excited you about getting to play with Luka?
Because he plays the game how I've always wanted to inspire the generation to play the game. And it's nothing predetermined. It's if you have two guys on you, there's a numbers game.
Right.
If you have the advantage, and if it's a guy that, you know, you that can't guard you or you're able to beat him and then the guy traps the box or another guy sinks, I'm able to make the passes and make the reads before they happen.
Right.
I've always loved the players that breathe so much confidence into his teammates that make them believe that they're actually better than what the fuck they really are.
Yes, yes.
You did that. Luka has done that for 7 years. Chris Paul did that when he was down there in New Orleans and doing that for that team down there in New Orleans. I've been able to do that with a few of my teams. I mean, I don't go to the NBA Finals in 2006 with that team if I'm not able 100%. To make them believe that they're greater than what they are.
Yeah.
You know, and just give them that confidence.
It's a great point because I think people understand you make your teammates better. But making them believe is a whole other thing. Yes. Because you can spray the ball around the gym and make people better.
Right.
But to give them that belief that, like, no, what I do is important and valued and going to help our team win, like, that's a different
thing. And it makes them ultimately, they will do anything for you, run through a wall for you. That's know? Right. I mean, we saw that, unfortunately, one of your teammates gets suspended in the postseason.
Right.
You know, when you get chucked to the scores table.
Yeah.
But that's because you've given them so much confidence and so much belief. Mm. You fucking touched Steve. Yeah. Like, I feel like you're going after me.
We built that bond.
Y'all built that.
Poor Steve. The look on his face when LeBron mentions that moment that eventually got... was it Stoudemire? It might have been Stoudemire who got suspended for a playoff game for like merely setting foot onto the court because the NBA was overreacting to the malice of the palace. But yeah, it's a great clip there. And I think it's really fun to watch a collection of stars. And two of them being all timers. Like, Luka's going to go down as one of, if not the best player of his generation. We know LeBron is the best player of his generation. If he isn't the best player of all time, Austin, not quite on that level, but still really bleeping good. But they're all wired the same way, where it's like there was a play today, final couple minutes of the game. LeBron brings the ball up the court. He passes the ball across the court over there to Austin and says, no, go to work. And then Austin and Rui run a pick and pop. And unfortunately, Rui airballed the shot, but that was 100% the right play for Austin to make. And he found Rui wide open. It just was a bit of a bummer that Rui airballed the shot, but that was 100% the right play there. And it was the right play for LeBron to be able to get the ball to Austin. Austin makes the right play, and then the teammate misses the shot. But at the end of the day, like, I have zero doubt whatsoever down the stretches of these games that all three of those guys are going to make the right decision. And so long as JJ Redick and his coaching staff are mapping out the right kinds of plays, those right decisions that those guys are going to make are still going to involve one or two of the other guys. And that's where the Lakers are going to be so effing difficult to defend in the postseason. It's the reason that I think the Lakers are a title contender and a team, maybe the team that no team in the conference wants to play because of the collection of offensive talent and understanding that the Lakers boast. But that clip there was incredible of LeBron and Luka, you know, playing, you know, what it's like for those guys to play together. And I thought tonight was a perfect example of everything that LeBron talked about. Also, LeBron basically ended the game with this.
And they give him space. Şengün inside. Mismatch on him. Knocked away. LeBron erases the shot. LeBron blocks the shot.
Listen to the sound that the ball makes on this play. It is absolutely incredible.
And they give him space. Şengün inside. Mismatch on him. Knocked away. LeBron erases the shot. LeBron blocks the shot.
Earlier in the game, the first two possessions of the game for the Houston Rockets, they forced a switch and they left Austin on an island guarding Alperen Şengün, and Şengün got two easy buckets. And Şengün takes that shot with the same amount of effort as he took those first two shots earlier in the game. Only this time, it was the most important possession of the game. LeBron recognized it, rotated super early as soon as he saw that Austin was on that island there, rotated over, sprinted over, elevated, and absolutely and actually spiked the ball. Like, that was a volleyball spike. I would love to go and look at that. Normally, so when you're playing volleyball and you go up to spike it, if you put backspin on your spike or if you put backspin on your serve, the ball is going to float out of the court or off the court. And what you need to be able to do is like come over to the top and then whip that wrist over and try to get that front spin so that when the ball comes off of your hand, it just absolutely sinks and goes straight down. And it's especially important if you're hitting from like the midline there and you aren't able to go right up to the rim and actually spike it straight down, but you actually have to get the ball to the rim and then have the front spin and all that stuff. That's way too much volleyball talk. But anyway, when LeBron goes up, I would love to be able to slow that down and see if LeBron is actually able to generate front spin on that. Cause the sound that he makes there was like a solid, like boom, you know. And that's the kind of sound that you make when you hit a ball hard enough to be able to generate that front spin. I would love to see if LeBron, I would imagine there's probably a little bit of backspin, maybe a knuckles down into the ground, but yeah, he absolutely like just fully extends, comes over the top and shoves Alperen Şengün into the locker that he belongs. I can't stand watching that dude play. I can't stand it. I loved it that Vanderbilt flopped against him tonight, and he looked at the referee, and he was like, he flopped. And all of the other players on the court were like, huh, he flopped, huh? What that must be like. You know, it just, I can't stand watching. He's an incredibly skilled player. He's like dollar store brand, not Kirkland brand, because I actually think Kirkland makes good stuff, but he's like dollar store brand Nikola Jokic. And I remember when everybody was trying to push that thing, I think eventually they're going to have to trade Şengün, because he just doesn't really fit into the vibe of that team. I think Şengün gets moved this summer, but that was an incredible play there from LeBron. And again, like, that's the kind of play that you can make when you have the legs that come with playing with Luka and with Austin, and when your guys are hitting jumpers the way that Dorian and Gabe were hitting jumpers tonight. that's about as explosive as I've seen LeBron on the defensive side of the ball late in a game, in a regular season game, in the last year or so, maybe the last couple of years. And if he's able to you know, generate that amount of energy, that amount of force defensively in game number 74, they've played 46 and 29. That's 75. Yeah. So in game number 75, if he's able to get up and on the last play of the game in game number 75, make that play, that's absolutely great to see. And that's the whole point of going out and getting somebody like Luka, who can make the game so much easier on LeBron that he can go out and be one of the best 3-and-D players in the sport. All right, let's get to some of your guys' questions and comments. Yeah, Manny, I would agree. Şengün is a lot closer to Sabonis than Jokic. 100%. All right. What did I say? Okay, sorry. Sorry, David. I take away your credit. Will Greer said that it was the Mind the Game podcast. You're absolutely right, Will Greer. David, I appreciate you saying that. And I appreciate all of you guys saying that, because the comment section just kind of moves kind of quickly here. But anyway, we have a super comment here from Justin Tindall. So that means I get to play this one. Fuck Washington! Justin Tindall writes, props to Gabe. He wasn't an NBA player earlier in the season. I will say this, as somebody who was completely out on Gabe, I was about done watching that dude get wide open jumpers and just miss wide open shot after wide open shot after wide open shot after wide open shot. All the credit in the world goes to Gabe for excuse me, for staying engaged, for staying engaged, and everything that he has done to become, what's he shooting on the season now? Because I think his numbers on the year have really picked up, even given how poorly he was shooting, you know, earlier this season. Boy, ESPN's website sucks. So on the year, yeah, he's shooting 36%, 35.7% from 3-point range. That is up from, I think he was shooting 2% at one point. No, I'm kidding. But he was shooting really poorly early in the year. And you know, you heard LeBron talk about building belief in teammates and getting role players to believe in themselves so that Gabe can have a game like this and Dorian can have a game like this. But I also think the coaching staff deserves a ton of credit as well, where I got the sense in talking to people last year, Darvin would say, keep shooting, you know, all the things that like coaches need to say to their shooters when guys would go through tough stretches. But And some of this might be kind of anecdotal because everything was just kind of ugly last year. But the vibe that I kind of got was when Darvin would tell people to keep shooting, it felt kind of empty because it was just, oh, keep shooting, you'll make the next one. Keep shooting, you'll make the next one. But there was never any kind of note as to where your next one was going to come from. There was never any direction to get guys into a rhythm. It was just kind of like how you ask somebody you see in the office hallway, hey, how's it going? And if somebody goes, well, you know, and you're like, oh, come on, man, I didn't actually care. You know, that's essentially what it kind of felt like from what I've been able to gather with the Lakers last year was, oh, keep shooting, man. Keep shooting. And there'd be kind of a note, hey, well, where am I shooting from? And it was like, I don't care, man. Just shoot. And this year, just by the inherent comparison between the two head coaches, the the difference is not only will JJ Redick and his staff say, no, you got to keep shooting, you got to keep shooting, you got to keep shooting. But it was also, no, here's where your shots are going to come from. Here's how you're going to be looking to gather on that shot. Here's where the ball is going to be coming from. Not just where you're going to be situated on the court, but the angle that the ball is going to be coming from, so that in practice, after practice, all of that stuff, when you're working on your shot, you know that the ball is going to be coming from over there, and this is the type of turn that you're going to need in your shoulders. Is it going to be coming inside out? Is it going to be coming from the wing? Is it going to be a swing kind of look in the corner? Like, those are the specific shots that Gabe needed to work on, that Dorian needed to work on, and that the Lakers shooters collectively needed to work on to make them better shooters than they were before. And that's honestly one of the great advantages of employing a shooter as your head coach. He understands, like, there, watch JJ Redick game to game. He is, like, impeccably put together, and you could tell he is just the kind of guy who his pens are lined up on his desk. You know, he's extremely tidy. Or no, I'm the kind of guy who, like, I'm not as tidy as Jen would like me to be, but there's a system and I know exactly where everything is when I put it down. I think JJ is more of the OCD. No, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here, this goes here. And he brings that to the table as a coach especially with the shooters, where it's like, no, it's not just a matter of, no, man, like, you're good, keep shooting, you'll get your rhythm someday, somehow. It's, no, let's work on what we need to do to get you into a rhythm as a shooter. And there is such a huge difference. That is a black and white type of thing with approach to getting guys confident in their shooting. And I'm telling you, I don't think the Lakers win this game without that approach as a former great shooter that you've seen from JJ Redick. To be absolutely clear, Gabe deserves the vast majority of the credit for knocking down the shots, for putting in the work, for getting better, for sticking with it, all that stuff. Gabe deserves the vast majority, the lion's share of that credit. I'm just saying how role players' lives are made easier by a coaching staff that understands how to make role players' lives easier. All right, let's go ahead and yeah, I think this is a good point. Alan writing that the defense was better today, but it killed our legs. Yeah, I think that's probably where the Lakers are going to be in the postseason. And that's, by the way, how postseason basketball tends to go. The defense ramps up. It makes it that much more difficult to knock down open shots. And you get these rock fights. And it just becomes a matter of which team is better situated in those kinds of situations, or which team better handles those situations. And I thought tonight the Lakers handled this game really, really well, because again, both teams treated this like a playoff game. The Lakers were going timeout for timeout with Houston down the stretch there. You had timeouts on out of bounds plays. You had offense and defensive substitutions. Jalen Green, the Rockets' leading scorer, was benched in this game because he wasn't shooting very well. He was benched for the sake of length and athleticism. That's something you don't normally see from a team unless it really, really, really wants to win a game. So this was a really cool one to watch. This was obviously a critical game here for the Lakers. And, you know, the outcome here is really important given the state of the chase in the Western Conference. Kind of wondering why my... That's weird. I'm going to go over here and try to figure out why it's No, I'll do that after the show. Anyway, that is, oh, that's a problem. It's the lowdown. This has been a lounge episode, you moron. All right. That is going to do it here for this episode of, I was looking for the QR code for those of you kind of curious where my brain goes over the course of a show. But that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast, as you guys can see right down there. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. A reminder, please hit that subscribe button. Please hit that like button. Those things really help the show grow and all of that stuff. If you guys want to join in on the fun, just scan that QR code up there. That gets you a deposit match there on Underdog. That is a 50% deposit match up to $1,000. That's just free money that we're giving away. So check out that as well. And until the next time you guys hear from me, which will be in a little bit because I have to record the lowdown, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you